Look, the man who had been wearing sunglasses said. The auctioneer wasn't wearing any socks. That's not very polite. And look, someone else said. He has a doily stuck between two of his toes. Ooh, that's not very comfortable. And look, Jerome said. He has a tattoo of an eye on his ankle. He's not Gunter. He's not an auctioneer, Mr. Poe cried. He's not even a foreigner. He's Count Olaf. He's more than Count Olaf, Esme said, walking slowly toward the terrible villain. He's a genius. He's a wonderful acting teacher, and he's the handsomest, innest man in town. Don't be absurd, Jerome said. Ruthless kidnapping villains aren't in.
You're right, said Count Olaf,
and what a relief it is to call him by his proper name. Olaf tossed away his monocle and put his arm around Esme.
We're not in. We're out. Out of the city. Come on, Esme.
With a shriek of laughter, Olaf took Esme's hand and leapt from the stage, elbowing aside the in-crowd as he began running toward the exit.
They're escaping,
Violet cried, and jumped off the stage to chase after them. Klaus and Sunny followed her as fast as their legs could carry them, but Olaf and Esme had longer legs, which in this case was just as unfair an advantage as the element of surprise. By the time the Baudelaires had run to the banner with Gunther's face on it, Olaf and Esme had reached the banner with auction printed on it, and by the time the children reached that banner, the two villains had run past the inn banner and through the award-winning door of Veblen Hall.
"Egad!" Mr. Poe cried. "We can't let that dreadful man escape for the sixth time. After him, everyone! That man is wanted for a wide variety of violent and financial crimes."
The inn crowd sprang into action and began chasing after Olaf and Esme, and you may choose to believe, as this story nears its conclusion, that with so many people chasing after this wretched villain, it would be impossible for him to escape. You may wish to close this book without finishing it, and imagine that Olaf and Esme were captured, and that the Quagmire triplets were rescued, and that the true meaning of BFD was discovered, and that the mystery of the secret hallway to the ruined Baudelaire mansion was solved, and that everyone held a delightful picnic to celebrate all this good fortune, and that there were enough ice cream sandwiches to go around. I certainly wouldn't blame you for imagining these things, because I imagine them all the time. Late at night, when not even the map of the city can comfort me, I close my eyes and imagine all those happy, comforting things surrounding the Baudelaire children, instead of all those doilies that surrounded them and brought yet another scoop of misfortune into their lives. Because when Count Olaf and Esme's squalor flung open the door of Veblen Hall, they let in an afternoon breeze that made all the very fancy doilies flutter over the Baudelaire's heads and then settle back down on the floor behind them, and in one slippery moment the entire in-crowd was falling all over one another in a papery pinstripe blur. Mr. Poe fell on Jerome. Jerome fell on the man who had been wearing sunglasses, and his sunglasses fell on the woman who had bid highest on lot number 47. That woman dropped her chocolate ballet slippers, and those slippers fell on Count Olaf's boots, and those boots fell on three more doilies that made four more people slip and fall on one another, and soon the entire crowd was in a hopeless tangle.